Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You deserve the glory. You deserve the praise. Hallelujah. You have come that we might have life and life more abundantly, life to the full and overflowing life. Hallelujah. You anoint our heads with oil and our cups overflow. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to live in the overflow. Hallelujah. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning throughout every day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Hallelujah. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Here it is, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Somebody say amen. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Hallelujah. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Ooh. Is that not a right now word for us? God's got it. God is hearing your prayers. Keep up. Amen. The intercession before, during, and after the election. Just keep on seeking. Amen. Keep on knocking. Amen. And the door will be opened. He didn't say it might be, but he said it will be. We need his help, don't we? Well, God wants His church to realize that, because we have had a lot of artificial security blankets. And without realizing it, sometimes we become idolatrous. We start to put more faith in carnal, natural things than we do the God who provides all things. So the Lord is exposing things. He's taking the lid off everything. Amen. And it begins in the house of the Lord. It begins with us, the people of God. Amen. But always with redemption. God always wants to heal and restore and redeem. Amen. And so then he is turning also to the house of man. And he's going to clean house. And I say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. So Retha, everybody say hi, Retha. Hopefully we've got good live streaming okay today, or praise the Lord. So Retha had some pain going on this morning. She just felt better to stay home and rest. Well, she wanted me to remind everybody that the Christmas boxes need to be returned by November 13th. Okay, so they're out in the hallway. If you haven't done one yet, if you'd like to, I think there's still available boxes out there that we can bless a child. Amen. Operation Christmas Child. So, November 13th, okay? So we want to get them in before then. That's the deadline. Title of the message today is Keeping America Free. Now, God cares about the nations, by the way, because He's Lord of the nations. Okay? And how many know that God is not a respecter of persons? Therefore, he's not a respecter of nations. So, if my people, 2 Chronicles what? 7:14? If my people, that's us, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and what? Heal their land. We're asking God to do that. We are humbling ourselves, we're praying, we're seeking his face, and we're saying, Lord, have mercy on America. Turn our nation back to you. Heal our land. You know, wake up the people in this nation. There's such great deception over so many. But God's not willing that anyone should perish. God wants to remove the veil. And whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And only then can we see clearly. We cannot know God except that God is revealed to us by his Spirit. Amen. You cannot learn God in a classroom. You can learn about God, but you can only know God experientially, authentically, through a relationship in the Holy Spirit. And that's why he gave us his Spirit, so we could know his heart. Amen. So we'll know the one behind the text. Because the text sometimes can be confusing if we don't know the heart of the one that sent the text. So God wants us to trust the heart of the one who wrote the book. Amen. When Jesus was tempted, he said, "It is written." He quoted Scripture. And of course, the devil knows how to quote Scripture too. But the real test, amen, is does this line up with the person, the character, the nature, the word of the Lord? And we are to judge all things or test all things and hold fast that which is good, right? As you say, hold on to the good, and if there's a bone in there, spit it out. And I don't know about you, but I think I've spoken a few bones along the way. And not anybody beside myself ever done that. Okay. So there has to be some grace, right? But we learn as we grow, as we go. And so if a person is operating from a completely different spirit, that person would be a false prophet. All right? There's a difference between somebody getting into error and somebody actually being operating by a different spirit altogether, a different Jesus altogether. Amen? So we need to test the spirits, whether they be of God or not. But there's no freedom apart from the truth. In John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And what? We can quote this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," or set you free. So the world's version of freedom always leads to bondage. When I thought I was being free, I discovered I was actually bound. The devil promises you freedom, but he binds you up. He puts the chains on you. Initially, he wants to try to convince you that you're getting away with it and everything is going your way. But he's just setting a trap for your soul. And but Jesus came to liberate us from all demonic oppression. He came to break the power of sin, the power of Satan, to liberate every captive. And the Apostle Peter said this about false teachers in 2 Peter 2:19. It says, they promise freedom. Freedom! But they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever what controls you. So what are we controlled by? We're controlled by what we believe. It matters what we believe, doesn't it? If you believe the truth, there's liberty, true liberty in the truth. But if you believe a lie, you know, you can actually believe that thing that's hurting you is good for you. And the devil has convinced many people that the lifestyle they're living is actually good for them, when in reality it's destructive. And they're not able to see that unless the light of the truth comes. And they have a receptive heart. They're in a place of repentance where they want to know. They want to be free. And how many know sometimes the grace of God is really revealed in trials and difficulties. And sometimes coming to a place in our lives where we don't have any other options except to turn to the Lord. And God can then be gracious to us. Amen. Because we will realize then that we were actually created for Him and we need Him. Amen. But people are spiritually enslaved by the devil because they believe his lies. And one of the lies is that there is no such thing as personal responsibility. You can live any way you want without consequences. And in John 8:44, Jesus called Satan the father of lies. He says he's a liar and he's a father of lies, right? And so as a society, we're only as free as the people who make up our society. And so as it is as an individual, I am personally responsible before God. Amen? And my life affects others around me. We're supposed to be salt and light, amen, in this world. And so if I'm living right and walking with the Lord in the Spirit, amen, then I'll be an influencer in this world. But it begins with the individuals. Okay, it's not some kind of hive mentality. That's what's happening in the streets. People get caught up in a hive mentality. What's the crowd doing? What is everybody saying is popular? Oh, I'm going to do that then because I want to be accepted. Why? Because God created us as social beings, social creatures. But if you're not rallying around the right source, if you're not rallying around the Lord, amen, then you're going to find yourself in the polluted pools of this world. Drinking something that's deadly, thinking it's going to do you some good. By the way, freedom is not the gift of the government. It is the gift of God. Amen? And that is stated in our Constitution. Our personal freedoms are given to us by God, not the government. Freedom is something worth fighting for. In Galatians 5, we were exhorted to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get back into legalism. Continue to walk in a relationship with the Lord. Amen? Do life with Jesus. But don't look to yourself as being the source of righteousness, because that's called self-righteousness. And by self-righteousness, no one will be justified. Only His righteousness qualifies us for heaven. So we need His righteousness. And He makes us righteous. And we trust in His righteousness and not our own. And I'm set free from me when I do that. Because we can very easily get into self-condemnation. When we start to shift away from faith in Him to faith in me, right? Faith in ourselves. And then we find ourselves back into bondage again. Because I'm only doing as good as I am at the moment. I'm only as good as I am at the moment. But as soon as I blow it, I'm no longer good. I'm righteous as long as I'm living righteous, but as soon as I fail or I make a mistake, I'm no longer righteous, right? Because why? My focus is not on the Lord and His righteousness, but on myself. And when I put my focus on me, there's no power to overcome sin. My ability to overcome sin in the grave, the devil, amen, all of it, is my faith in Christ and His ability to keep me. In Christ alone, I place my trust. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You see, otherwise we become double-minded and unstable in all of our ways because on one hand I'm trying to be a good person by myself and then on the other side I know that I need to trust in the Lord. And as long as I'm putting my faith and my hope in Jesus, amen, I'm free from me and I can walk in the confidence that God gives me because He gives His grace to those who accept and receive His word. Those who humble themselves under the hand of God, amen, under the word of God. So Jesus died on that cross for us to liberate us from bondage to the devil, to sin. Amen? This great nation was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics, and it's found throughout the Bible, and our Constitution is full of scriptures. So regardless of what the propagandists are saying in the media, the Christian faith was involved in just about every aspect of our nation's beginnings. And I want to give you another reminder from history here of where we started from, where we, you know, came from as a nation. In Christopher Columbus in 1504, he wrote down his reason for setting forth to discover a new land to be. Listen to what Christopher Columbus said. I was led of the Holy Spirit to carry the message of the gospel to undiscovered lands, end quote. When the pilgrims arrived at Plymouth, they formed what's called the Mayflower Compact of 1612. These are the words of the Mayflower Compact. Quote, in the name of God, amen, having undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God covenant and combine ourselves together. End quote. So our forefathers made a covenant with God when they arrived on the soil. 23 years later, the Puritans formed the New England Confederation. And this was actually the first written constitution. And it was by people who were meeting together in 1643. The New England Confederation Constitution began, quote, whereas we all came into these parts with one and the same end and aim, namely, listen, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity and peace. In January 1941, during the war in Europe and Far East, President Roosevelt addressed Congress. In that address, he said some things about freedom, and this address is known as the Four Freedoms Address. In the future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. And this is going to be the condensed version. Say thank you. Well, maybe, I don't know, but the first is freedom of speech and expression. Again, reiterating, right? Our forefathers, our Constitution. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way, everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, poverty. The fourth is freedom from fear. And all of these freedoms, by the way, if you haven't noticed, are presently under attack in this nation. People are risking their lives every day, and many are dying just to have a chance at freedom in America. And I ask you this question, if America is so bad, why are so many storming the border to get here? They talk about change, turning the page. No, we need to get back to our moorings, to all those old landmarks where our forefathers came with a distinct purpose of establishing a free nation where we could worship God freely, where we could have freedom of speech, and where we could propagate the gospel into all the nations. America is still the number one exporter of the gospel in the nations. And the enemy doesn't like that, and he's trying to shut it down. But God will have his way in the nations. And as a republic, our Constitution affords us certain liberties. But let me just say this, because with liberty, with freedom, also comes responsibility. Amen? Anybody agree with that? Some people are irresponsible about their responsibilities. As a citizen of a free nation with the right to vote or have a voice, and they lay back in hopes that everything will just work out. Well, how many know faith without works is dead? There needs to be some action on our part. And I'm saying to everybody, get out and vote. Amen? Our freedoms are at stake here. and they want to shut down the gospel. We've been given the responsibility to vote, to be involved. How about to care for others? The responsibility to respect others. Just because you don't agree with somebody doesn't give you the right to disrespect them. We have to guard against that. How many know if you want to talk to somebody, you're going to have to show some respect? Amen? Before you're going to have an audience, someone that wants to listen to what you have to say, show some respect. Don't get on your self-righteous pedestal and talk about how bad they are and how good you are. Talk about the mercy of God in your life. Amen? What God did for you and what He will do for them if they're willing to repent and return to the Lord. But the forefathers, our forefathers, they looked to the Bible for the wisdom they needed to best organize our government. And so we were actually founded, our structure of government was founded on three branches. One was a judicial branch, a legislative branch, and an executive branch. And this is found in the book of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge. What's that? Judicial. The Lord is our lawgiver. Legislative, right? Branch. And the Lord is our king. He will save. That's the executive branch. So, America, let me just say this, because the lines are getting blurred. Even when it comes to worship, America was not founded to worship just any God, but to worship Jesus Christ and to advance His kingdom. Amen. So, blessed is the nation, Psalms 33:12, whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. Guys, you and I are salt and light. We have to be lit up in order to light anybody else up. Amen? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? We need to be walking with the Holy Spirit in order to be an influence in this world. Because the adversary that we are facing is bigger than we are, but is no match for our God. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Every knee is going to bow to Him. Hallelujah. So we need to seriously return to the Lord and cry out for revival. That's what we've been praying. We've been praying for a year now. And by the way, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, churches all over the nation are going to be getting together one more time to pray specifically for this election. We're going to have the doors open. We'll be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Well, we've been doing this for a year. Amen. We called it 5 at 5 and it went 5 at 6. But we've been seeking the Lord and standing in the gap on behalf of our nation. As God's people, we are a priesthood, a royal priesthood. And so we need to intercede, stand in the gap on behalf of those who don't know. And what we know was given to us by the grace of God. Not because we're smarter or better, but by the mercy of God, He saved us. And by the grace of God, we are able to see what we can see. And by the grace of God, we are who we are today. So if we're going to do any boasting, let's boast in our God and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what He's done in my life. Hallelujah. And by the way, on Wednesday nights, we've been doing these personal testimonies. It's been so good. I mean, you find out stuff about people like, I had no idea. And not that you need to talk about everything, but, you know, it's just kind of like we can see, wow, look what the Lord did in your life. You know, amazing. We're going to give God the glory. That's what it's about, giving God the glory for what He's done. And thanks, Karen. Karen had shared last Wednesday. Thank you, Jesus. So, Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We need to come into the light. We need to come to Jesus. We need to repent of our sins as a nation. But guys, listen, if you and I as His people would do our part on behalf of this nation, I believe God will hear us. And for the sake of those who have stood in the gap, God can remove the veil from the eyes of the masses. And that's what we've been praying for, a great awakening. Amen. We want to see full-blown Holy Ghost and fire, right, revival in America, and it begins in the house. Amen. It begins with God's people. You and I are flames. Amen. Ministers of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are, in a sense, angels because angels are sent ones, right? They're messengers. So we're partnering with God in His plan to be a messenger of hope to a hopeless and dying world around us. And the reason why people are so depressed is because they have no hope. Or they have lost sight of that. We have to be reminded that our God reigns. Our God is going to establish His reign here. He's going to put an end to the foolishness. And He will reign over all the earth. Praise God. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We must do more than acknowledge, you know, that God is great. That he's our hope, or that in God we trust. We need to obey God's command to return to Him. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. You know, sometimes people are waiting around for something just to happen. They're kind of like the man at the pool, waiting for the water to be troubled. Amen? We need to be calling out. The Bible says we are to approach Him. We are to come before His presence. Amen? With singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. We are to call upon the name of the Lord. We are to approach Him. We are to draw near to Him. We are to take the initiative. And as we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. Well, one of these days, something's just going to happen. What will happen is nothing. If you're just sitting around waiting for something to happen, God's going to call you to draw near to Him. And as you draw near to Him, He will empower you by His Spirit. He will reveal to you His plan. Amen. And He will give you a holy unction, a holy desire in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He will stir you up and you will become, if you will, activated in the Holy Spirit to be a vessel for Him. But if you're just sitting around hoping one of these days an angel is going to appear out of nowhere, you may be disappointed. God can do that, but God calls us to draw near. If ever there was a time we need to draw near, it's now. Wash your hands. Your outward works. What are you doing with your life? Even your visible life. We represent Him. We are to honor Him in everything we do. Purify your hearts. That talks about your inner life, even your thought life. Taking those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Not allowing the enemy to have his way in your head. Come on. Because eventually, if you allow those thoughts to continue, they can become more deep-rooted in your spirit. Amen. And all of a sudden, out of your mouth are flowing things that you are even surprised about. God says, get it out. Repent of those thoughts, even. And the best way to do that, guys, is simply abide in Him, draw near to Him, worship Him, walk with Him. Amen? Keep your mind on heavenly things. All right? Look to Jesus. Rely upon His grace. You don't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a stronger Christian today. Like in your own willpower, somehow you're going to be a stronger Christian. No. I'm going to be a more submitted and yielded Christian today, relying upon the grace of God to help me through every situation, because this grace is sufficient, more than enough. So don't trust in your own willpower to get you through it. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. You'll have the strength you need. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will lift you up in due season, right? He'll lift you up in honor. We know, again, it begins with us as individuals, personal responsibility before the Lord and before people. We need to be people of integrity, people of our word, people that can be trusted. How many know that God is turning up the heat? God has taken the lid off. He's exposing it all. Amen. So do yourself a favor. Don't try to hide anymore. Just run into the light. Run to Jesus and say, Lord, I've blown it. I'm a mess. I need help. Forgive me. Amen. And let Him do the work. Let Him do the work. When your heart changes, then your desires change. You want to do the things that please Him. Righteousness exalts a nation. Proverbs 14:34. But sin is a reproach to any people. And once again, I want to just say, as God's people, our responsibility is to be salt, to be light, to be influencers, to do our part, to stand in the gap. You do what God tells you to do and leave the results up to God. If things don't go the way that we want them to go, I'm still going to trust the heart of God. I know my God's got me. Amen. He holds me in the palm of His hand. I don't know about the future. Amen. I don't know all the answers. And nobody here does, except one, Jesus. Amen. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Amen. He's with us. It was God who made this great nation. So it says in verse 9, you know, let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. And there's been some tears, by the way, over this last year, amen, of just really weeping before the Lord and crying out for His mercy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will what? Lift you up in honor. So I say, don't give up. And don't believe the lie that everything's just going to work out. Somebody's going to be riding in on, you know, this great stallion and rescue you from all your problems. So just lean back, eat popcorn, as I hear somebody say, and watch the show. I think that's been the problem. We've been watching the show and not being a part of it. Amen? Not being involved in any way. So if you haven't gotten out and vote, vote. Everything we hold dear, our freedoms. Amen. Our Christian values are under attack. This is very much about the gospel. This is very much about the will of God. This is very much something that we should be preaching. Amen. Is that we have a responsibility to represent the kingdom government of heaven here on the earth. And we have the privilege and opportunity as a republic, as a representative government, as the people, as by we the people, we can make a difference. Let's do what we can. But let's continue to pray, because what we really need is the harvest to come in. What we really need is people to get saved, amen? To know Jesus, to be born again. What we really need is national awakening, revival. We say revival, fire fall, Lord. Let your fire fall. Lord, set us ablaze with a holy passion for You. See, Christianity is supposed to influence the politics, not the other way around. And Jesus never told us to retreat, by the way, or hide from the world, but to overcome it. He says in Matthew 10, verse 16, look, I am sending you out as what? Sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. He gives us strategies. If you will rely upon Him, He will tell you what to say, when you need to say it, how to say it. You know, we can ask the Lord and say, Lord, help me to speak the language of the people I'm talking to. Amen? We don't have to speak over the heads of somebody with some great theological concepts that everybody's going, well, that sounded great, but what did it mean? Amen? How many know Jesus spoke the language of the people? And I don't think He spoke in King James either, by the way. Aramaic. Thank you. But we're not to conform to our culture, but to become agents of change in our culture. I know what it's like to be a conformist, you know, fitting in, blending in, just kind of, you know, non-confrontational, of course. Now, I don't think we should be belligerent or arrogant or get out and present ourselves, but we want to present Christ to people. And first of all, we've got to live it, amen, like Keith Green said. I want to take Your word and shine it all around. But first help me, Lord, to live it, amen, just to live it, Lord. And when I'm doing good or fine, help me to never seek a crown, for my reward is giving glory to You. So if we're going to boast, let's boast in our God. Amen. Understand, we're all different. We're diverse. We're part of a body. All right? So not everybody's going to think exactly like you and I do. But we need to find out where we fit, and let's do our part. And together, we will advance the kingdom of God. Thank You for everyone that's been a part of this house, that's been, you know, working in partnership with the Lord and His people here. We are a family. God takes us and He places us in families. Amen. He says, now this is your responsibility. Not everybody has the more public office or the, you know, the pulpit ministry. Some people are called to teach and preach, and others may be leaders of singers or singers. And there's just different things. Those are evangelists and pastors, right, and prophets. But everything needs to work together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to be yielded and submitted to the lordship of Jesus. Not just going out here doing our thing because I'm working for God. We're working with God. Walking with God. You see, I started out working for God. I was involved in everything, doing everything. How many of you have started out that way? You wanted to serve the Lord, and you just said, well, I'll do that. Or you need a volunteer, I'll do that. Before you know it, you're just overwhelmed and not doing anything very good because you haven't discovered where you fit. But sometimes that's what it takes, though, for us to discover where we fit, too. I tried that. Well, that wasn't quite me. That was that guy on the Internet or that guy on television. How many of you can't be anybody but you? So just be you. Be happy about who you are because God made you the way you are. And He wants you to be who you are. And that's okay. Hallelujah. We don't have to be as some chameleons. All right? We just need to be ourselves and we need to be obedient to the Lord. Now, Daniel Webster, I'm almost through. You ready? He said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. You and I personally need to guard our own personal sovereignty and freedom in the spirit realm. Is that right? Because we're in a spiritual war. So we have to be vigilant. Like Peter said, right? Our enemy, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. We resist him steadfast in the faith. But we have to guard ourselves and defend the freedom that we have in Christ and not allow people to put us into bondage, to legalism, to religion. Amen? But we have to guard against that. Amen? And guard against all the traps of the enemy who's trying to entice us into sin. or could it cause offense? By the grace of God, we can do all things. By the grace of God, we can overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, but not in ourselves. We don't possess what is necessary to do that. So again, it always has to be the source of our strength, of our hope, is Jesus. Him only. All right? And God is weaning us off ourselves. He's still weaning me off me. We're learning how to die to ourselves. How many said there's probably some more dying that needs to take place in my life, okay? How about doing yourself a favor and just cooperating with the Holy Spirit, all right? And just say, Lord, you're always right. And every time He says go, you say, I'll go. When He says stop, you'll stop. When He says speak, you speak. When He says don't speak, don't speak. Even if you want to speak, if your flesh wants to speak and God says don't speak, then listen to the Lord. Deny yourself. Die to yourself. Die to your agenda. So many people are running around with a ministry agenda. I got to have this thing and this audience and this following and I'm going to make it happen. And I'm going to try to wow everybody with my spirituality. So people will exalt me and put me on a pedestal and then I'll be important. Not. Everybody say not. We want Jesus to be important. We want Jesus to be exalted. We want Him to be the center of attention. Amen? We don't want to make it about us. We want to make it about Him. And if you make it about Him, He'll take care of you. And He'll open doors of opportunity for you. Because He knows you're humble enough to be entrusted with the greater riches of a greater anointing. How many have prayed for a greater anointing? Well, it comes with a greater level of submission, of dying to self. Well, I'm going to finish with this. I said that about 20 minutes ago. But Psalms 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. On those who hope in His mercy. Did anybody get that yesterday? You got this one, verse 22. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. That's where we're at. Lord, let your mercy be upon us, just as we're hoping in you. This is bigger than we are. Sometimes we're allowing ourselves to get so frustrated over things we have no control over. And the Lord says, don't fret. Trust, rest. Wait patiently. The Lord's going to deal with them. And I pray that God will show us mercy. And He'll save our nation. But know this, as the word came forth, and I believe it too, brother, things are going to get harder before they get better. Amen. So we need to be prayed up. Stay close to the Lord. Stay armored up. Pray for divine protection, a shield of protection around you, your family, amen, your loved ones, your house, your church. I pray over everything. Amen. And God will honor that. Hallelujah. So choose this day. This is repentance. Choose this day who you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I'd look to Jesus now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I say, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Lord, drive them away. Lord, rise up in this nation. Rise up in your church. Rise up in us, Lord, and crush your enemies. Liberate us. Set every captive free, Lord. Lord, we decree salvation and healing and deliverance over this nation. In this house, salvation, healing, and deliverance. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you're with us. We pray a hedge of protection around each one of us, Lord God. Guard over our hearts and our minds and our persons, Lord. Keep us in your rest, Lord. Keep us in your peace, Lord. And we thank you that you are faithful. In Jesus' name.